no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Ooh, doggy dog.
Doggy dog indeed.
I'm in the ATL, baby, down in Atlanta.
Really? What are you doing in Atlanta?
Shooting a short film with Matthew Servito, who plays Satan on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
And by short film, of course, he means everyone is 5'6".
That's me. That's if I was the dean of your college.
Yeah.
That's me auditioning to play the dean of Marquette University. Is that where you went?
Milwaukee. Marquette was for the rich kids and Dwayne Wade.
Oh, I'm sorry to try to even deign an idea that you'd be upper class. But no, I'm in Atlanta, and man, I love it. I'll tell you what, it's been a while. Atlanta still got it. I saw an active drug dealer.
Really?
Full on drug deal in the hotel that we were staying at. Dude, it was just like out and open. It was 7 p.m. And a dude, a woman, the only way I could describe it is that she had wacky knees.
Uh-huh.
She went like, hey, hi, hey, hey, walked up to a man who was in just boxer briefs, and he opened up his hotel room, handed her a packet. She handed him money, literally went like, hey, hi, hey, hey, hey. She ran back to the car, scuttled back to the car, and then I mean it. It was so nice. He looked at me, and he caught eyes. He's counting his money. He looks me in the face and goes, hey, man, how you doing? Like, he was incredibly friendly. Like, I didn't just witness something I shouldn't see.
Hey, man, that's Atlanta. It's a beautiful place full of brotherly love. No longer Philadelphia's moniker. It is now Atlanta's.
No, now I thought Philadelphia is home of the horse shit eaters.
Yeah, it is now. Good jab at the Eagles fans. All right, everyone, welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry Zebrowski, who is out there busting his rump, acting for the people.
Making film.
Yes, I am
an artist, or as Servito likes to say, because I love him to death. When an actor becomes a writer-director, which is why I don't need that level of control. That's why I have Civ 5. Civ 5 allows me to control and micromanage an entire society, which
yes.
helps scratch the itch of being a director.
Absolutely.
Servito, he doesn't have like a shot list. He doesn't have a lot of organization because he keeps saying, we're playing jazz here. about everything.
That is exactly what I want my director to be saying.
And
we're playing
like,
jazz. So there's no rules? Is that what you're saying?
No rules, just right. This is Outback. We've turned this film set into Outback. But, you know, we're just making shit up as we go. But I am dressed as a facsimile. I am playing a special effects horror makeup person.
Okay.
And I am dressed exactly like Shane Morton, who is the creative designer for Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. So it's a fun inside joke for the Atlanta film community. We're having a good time.
Absolutely. And of course, Shane Morton, you might recognize his work if you saw the hit film Mandy. He is the creator, the designer, the god behind the puppet that is Cheddar Goblin.
And he's my Cheddar Goblin.
And
that's why he pulled me one. But we all day long, all we do is we're in his workshop. So, like, the whole place we're in, he has this room called the Spare Parts Room.
Uh-oh.
And it's in this workshop out in the middle of, like, rural Georgia. And as you go, it's just all nothing but disembodied, like, tits and open mouths and all the stuff. He lives a strange life. But
uh-huh.
It's, like, there's so many of his, like, because his muse, it's, like, he works with his co-worker, Madeline Brumby, who is his girlfriend of many years,
uh-huh.
who is a very talented actress, who does a lot of stuff, again, in the art community of Atlanta. But there's so many of her disembodied heads around this spare parts room.
Right.
I just can't imagine what it would be like. What does it do to the human mind?
Psychologically,
Your lover, right? You mold and cast your lover's body in many different ways, and then all you do is hack it up.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I guess I would like to see sort of what they used to do on Room Raiders when they would take the black light into the teenagers' rooms and they would put it over their beds and then they would be like, that's a lot of cum. I do want to see a black light. I want to see it over the heads, the severed heads of his girlfriend, who they've been together for a long time. I'm just going to say basically common law wife at this point.
Yes.
If there is any semen stains on there, then I do think we have to have a conversation and we have to say this has now transcended art into dark fantasy, into potential murder.
Well, Shane does a lot of stuff. He works a little bit in the Gorno community.
What's Gorno?
Gorno is, at the time, it used to be way more like kind of B-level, it's horror porn. It's gore porn. And so what they would do is it would start with a bunch of naked chicks. Like, he showed me video of this one time he did a shoot where it was two nuns. It was a zombie cannibal nun and a normal nun that was tied down. And they had this tits out, like, zombie nun come in and literally eat her vagina. And he created a mold of a vagina over her vagina. And the nun went like, and was like licking it and like pulling it off with her teeth. And
oh,
like
my.
It's fun. It's very creative. But what Shane does, which I think is interesting, he definitely, because he made a bunch of workable sex toys. So he separates. So I don't think he fucks the stuff he uses for work. He will, though. I don't think he fucks his own. I don't think he gets high in his own supply.
Do you think he knew we were going to talk about him for the first 10 minutes of this episode?
No.
In such graphic detail, specifically when it comes to Gorno?
Well, Gorno is highly interesting, but he's trying to back out of it because it's becoming a little too realistic. He likes doing
what is going on?
He likes doing it more like, he wants it to be more fun and campy, where the guys are listening to their customers, and their customers are like, I want the girl to really be dead. And they're like, I know you want the girl to really be dead. I know, but we're trying to sell you something legal.
I am not really sure if this is, I think this is red flag porno, but as long as no one is really getting hurt. That is what matters.
I've met a lot of the girls involved, and they're always laughing.
They're all alive.
Oh, yeah, I've seen, and I'm not, like, checking their bits to see if they're intact because I'm a normal man. You can't start a conversation like that, being like, she really eat your pussy?
No, you can't do that. No, that reminds me of the scene from Reanimator. The great actress, Barbara Compton,
Barbara Crampton.
Now, she was very upset by the scene in Reanimator when the severed head did exactly what Henry mentioned the nun did to that other woman.
Cunnilingus.
She was very upset about it. She stormed out of the movie premiere, but now she's leaned in. She loves it. She's a horror goddess, and, you know, I think she has a good career in front of her and behind her, dare I say.
She's a beautiful woman, and she's an incredible performer, and it helps cement. It's about being down to clown.
To throw it down.
But I'm just saying, Shane Morton does really good work, and I've seen some of his legit sex toys he's made.
That's what all of this is about. Shane, this is technically a positive plug for Shane's work.
It is.
All right. Well, hit us up. Side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. I've never heard of Gorno before. Again, as long as everyone is safe, hey, you know what? Do what you want to do. I really don't care.
Get it out, man. Get it out. People like getting their buttholes gaped. People like peeing each other's mouths. And it's all, this is fucking America. You go out there and you express yourself. Sex workers have the possibility to fucking save our world.
Oh, I love them.
Sex workers, if you're out there, take this as a message. You have opportunity. If you're with some of these important people, if you're there and you're sucking on Jeff Bezos' toes, right before he blows it, you'd be like, hey, give $10 towards climate change.
There you go.
Because what you do is that you can make them do whatever they want the moments before they come.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of gaping buttholes, this story is a little bit old, but I did just want to mention it because for some reason it's just sometimes there is small amounts of justice in this world. Ian Watkins, remember that dude from The Last Prophets?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes, this disgusting man, he had sex with a baby. He and his girlfriend, I mean, truly fucking evil. He's got
sentences. No, it's not good.
He's truly evil, disgusting man. But he just got sentenced to 10 more months in prison. He's there for 29 years, but I'm going to think that he should probably just stay there forever.
Yeah.
But he got 10 more months because he was smuggling a mobile phone in his butthole. And you know that this is not one of those, like, really nice, new, small, like, no, whatever, like, touch phones. This is one of those brick Nokia.
Brick.
Yeah, this is like the Zach Morris, like, you have to pull an antenna out from it. You know, it's like, click, 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 click. It's the size of a small dinner plate. But you can just imagine, Ian Watkins, you're in prison. What are you in for? Oh, you had sex with a baby? Well, let's just, how do we begin the abuse?
This
man's butthole could fit a watermelon.
That phone was jangling around inside of his gaping butthole, much like Yahtzee dice. There's a lot of room in there. And I also, I'm just glad it wasn't a baby.
Thank God. Thank God. But anyway, because I know we have some rock and roll metal fans out there. Last Prophet story. If you haven't heard about it, check it out. We're not going to go into detail. But it is
for the metal fans? Is that what that story is for?
I don't know. But it is disgusting. And we're not making fun of sexual assault within the prison, because that is a very true thing, and that's not fair. That's not good. But this is Ian Watkins we're talking about.
Yeah, dude. And that's why I'm paying my taxes.
Yeah, and this is and you got to
because I would be such a succulent little man in there sauntering around with my fun attitude that they just can't wait to wreck.
You would actually, I think that you would lean in. Yeah, I think I could see you start tying up the white shirts.
Hey, can I get some of your steak? I get you for it. Don't you want to see what's in my pocket?
Yes, indeed. I just spent about 10 hours. It's what?
It's shit.
It's shit. Well, it's better than what I thought it was. I thought it would be a full rotisserie chicken. That would be worse.
They call me the Colonel.
Yeah.
But also,
I just watched 10 hours of Lockup on National Geographic, which it is kind of still sad to me. Because National Geographic, remember when they used to cover, like, African safaris?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
now our National Geographic is just like, humans in prison.
Yep.
And it's sort of weird. It's a little bit, like, dystopian. And I'm like, I don't like to study these humans like they are animals in a zoo. But it is fascinating.
It's fascinating subculture.
Yes, indeed.
Fresh out the pen, man. Get all your prison questions answered. They talked about how excited they were when Eddie Money went in to serve a couple of days in jail. I saw some one guy. It was very, very funny.
Really? What was Eddie Money in there for?
I don't know. It's some long story. I got to find the episode. They were talking about a celebrity that they were hanging out with in jail, and he was like signing autographs. I forget who the hell it was.
Oh,
it might not have been
funny.
Eddie Money, but I got to find out who it was.
R.I.P., I believe.
Also, again, Halloween countdown. If you're doing 31 for 31, I'm going to shout out some more movies that I watched this week that good. Because I don't like doing the negative ones, so I'm going to do the positive ones.
I have one positive one as well.
Satanic Panic is a lot of fun.
Okay.
It's really good with Rebecca Romijn. She's fantastic in it. Arden Mirren is fucking fantastic in it. They do get some of the Satanism stuff wonky, but I don't blame them. But they did a lot of good work with the demons. Otherwise, the outside, it's pretty great. And then the movie Haunt has a really fun premise.
Awesome. I love it. You know what I watched, Henry?
Huh?
It's a franchise film. People kind of criticized it. They said, that's not what the main character should look like. The new Child's Play. Have you seen it?
Oh, I love the new Child's Play.
Yeah, I thought it was such a fun revamp. I don't want to spoil anything here, but the reason that I will say it's not, so they kind of moved away from the spiritual aspect of it. They moved away from there's a soul of a serial killer inside of a doll, but they revamped it. It's more technological based, and I thought it was absolutely wonderful. And the main actress there from Checks and Regulations, Parks and Restoration.
Checks and Restorations. I love that show.
Yeah.
It's on C-SPAN at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's just going through an accountant's fucking storage unit.
Aubrey Plaza did a wonderful job. And you know what, dude? It's another one of those moments where I realize we are aging. She plays a mother. She used to just be like a high school student, and now she's a mom of like a 13-year-old. I'm like, oh my God.
You should see me at these auditions playing fathers.
That's
now
insane.
I'm going to audition to play fathers. And it's like, I could barely raise my dog. I can't raise a child. I don't look like it. I try to, like, I'm trying the idea of interacting with a child. I'm just like, hi, hello. Like, hello. I shake their hands like it's a businessman. Well, we got some stories today. Yeah, so Satanic Panic, we got some stories today. Very, very excited. Halloween is upon us.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And so we have some very, very exciting stuff. We're going to start with this one. Kissel, you got this one. This is fun. This got sent to us quite a bit, so I was excited to cover it.
This one is absolutely insane, and it reminds me of this film, Blast from the Past, starring, of course, the great Brendan Fraser.
I saw a recent, someone showed a, there was a restaurant that they ate at, and they saw a headshot of Brendan Fraser signed, and he said, thanks for the meal, I was in The Mummy, is what he wrote on.
I love them. So this is a Dutch family. They were found living in a basement for damn near a decade, preparing for the end of the world. So it was six siblings, ages 18 to 25, which that is, what do they call that? Irish twins on top of Irish twins on top of Irish twins.
I think that that is a no condom sextuplet.
Absolutely. So they were living with a man in a farmhouse basement for 9 years, no contact with the outside world whatsoever. And then finally, one of the dudes was able to leave. He escaped in the middle of the night, went into a bar.
And that was the first thing he did. The youngest child, the first thing he did is that he got to a bar and got himself a beer.
Yes, he did. So, well, many multiple outlets have reported that the man was the father of the children. This is according to Mayor Roger DeGroot. He said during a press conference that he was not related to the siblings. So these kids were there with a man who was just a farmer. And so he escaped the property. The eldest sibling did. He's 25 years old now. Went to the pub in Runerwold. He didn't just order a beer. He ordered five beers.
And just drank them. He did a Kissel. He did a whole Kissel. He just ordered five, being like, I don't need the gaps in time in between.
No, I mean, why bother? And the thing is, so at this point, he didn't even run into the bar and be like, we need help. We're stuck in a farm. We've been there for a decade. What year is it? Who's the president? He just sat there, drank his beers, and that's when the bar owner, Chris Westerbeek, finally just had a small conversation with him.
You know what? I kind of understand, right? You're a part of this horrific set of circumstances. We don't really know a lot of the details of the story.
Right.
They were being held there by a man named Josef B., who was a handyman. They found the five other kids after the oldest of them was found at the bar. When they found him, he had long hair, a dirty beard, wore old clothes, and looked confused. Yes, I think it was the five beers.
It might have been the five beers.
So bar owner Chris Westerbeek described how a man had come in, ordered five beers, and then the first thing he said, then I had a chat with him, and he revealed he had run away and needed help. Then we called the police. So you've been held against your will, right, for 9 years. You finally somehow get to, we don't know exactly how they were held against their will just yet.
No.
I can see how you're like, I've been trapped with these kids and this handyman, Josef, and God knows how he's kept me in this room, did all stuff. Honestly, even for me to speak about this, I need some beers. Like, I need to slide some emotional lubricant onto me before I can even explain what the fuck happened to me. Like, I can't imagine what the girls that dealt with Ariel Castro had to deal with immediately afterwards.
Oh, my. Well, they just went to the rap concert. I believe they were brought on stage. I forget the rapper that brought them on stage. But they had fun. And I think that's great. But the strange thing is, the 58-year-old man that had these people, I don't think that they were kept against their will. I think they really believed that the world had ended because apparently he had suffered a stroke. Because when the cops broke in and they were like, yo, dude, what's going on? They looked behind a living room cupboard, and that's where they found the 58-year-old man, lying in bed after he had suffered a stroke, which seemed to be a few years ago. So maybe they firmly just believed that the world had ended, which has got to be kind of trippy then to come out into the world. It's sort of like you're reborn.
Holy shit. It's got to be interesting. I hope we get this whole story.
Yeah.
I wonder what it was that made the oldest son like finally leave, because you are trapped in, you're trapped in your father's sick mind. It's like the movie Frailty, where you're like, you're
but
in
this isn't
world.
Even this isn't even their father. This is just, again, a random, I don't even know how they met this guy.
They said they don't, they're not really sure what the fucking relationship is. They know that the other kids, they think that the mother might have died a long time ago.
Mm.
But it seems like they just kept this line of bullshit going for forever. Like, it could have started with the mom, and they could have been raised with this shit. We don't know how old the son is either.
And Mayor, Mayor DeGroot says he's never seen anything like it. And thank God, because can you imagine if he was just like, yeah, well, we had a similar situation about 4 or 5 months back, so.
Throw it on the pile. Throw it on the pile. That's just, oh, you mean one of these stay families? That means just stay families. Honestly, in the end, they don't have to deal with all the horseshit of the outside world, but you might have to be blowing father, and you might have been told that you need to remake the human race with your sisters.
Maybe. We don't know. It doesn't seem at this point as if it is a Joseph Fritzl case, who, by the way, is still alive.
Those are the people that live forever.
Yes, and if you want to know more about Fritzl, I believe we covered him in a last podcast episode briefly.
We talked a little bit about this a couple episodes ago on Side Stories too. It's somewhere in there, but we didn't do it in depth, and we will do it someday. But for some reason, Marcus gets all upset about all the daddy making love to baby,
because making love isn't the right term for it. And also, it's all. I mean, I texted Henry after our Mormonism series, after the final one. Part 6, which, by the way, again, thanks so much for the unbelievable response to the Mormonism series. That is one of just awesome to hear the response. Thank you all so much. But when we covered Warren Jeffs, I was walking back home, and I was like, man, I'm so depressed. Why do I feel? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. So the child, it was just all the child abuse that we just covered for 3 hours. And I texted Henry. I was like, I think I figured out why I was sad. He's like, yeah, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Been sitting with that shit for 6 weeks.
We didn't even show some of the stuff. Well, it's because just for time, we
didn't
do it.
It's just disgusting.
But if you look up the Warren Jeff sex tape, which you shouldn't.
No.
There's a whole section, because we played a little bit of it. We played a tiny clip, but there's a whole section where he's just like, yeah, show the Lord how much you love me. And going like, amen, amen. He's making love to his wives. Like, he's making love to 7 of his child brides.
And again, making love, not the right term. I think I'd rather watch Gorno.
Honestly, Gorno is 2 consenting adults.
Yes, exactly.
Gorno is fantasy. It's fantasy.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, Henry, right. Speaking of real life stuff here, you got some stuff.
I want to talk about this just real quick.
Okay.
Just because, again, putting it on your radar of shit to watch, because Natalie's always good at kind of like cultivating interesting true crime stories that she becomes obsessed with and then sends them to me. And this is one that I ended up falling into a little bit of a hole of. And this is really one where you should also do your own research, because it's very, very interesting. This is the disappearance of Susan Cox Powell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, this happened in 2009. She was a woman that went missing from West Valley City, Utah. She was a mother of 2 that was married to a man named Joshua Powell, who was never charged.
Okay.
And it became a very famous case. I remember it vaguely when it came out. But this is tangentially connected to the LDS church, because obviously all these people are Mormon, which is why it fucking happens like this. But Joshua Powell was a total sociopath that essentially took him and their 2 young sons. They had 2 young sons that were 7 and 5.
Okay.
And how it works is, so Susan Cox Powell goes missing on December 9th, right? Overnight. He tells everybody that she just left. She just left in the night. She left her 7 and 5-year-old and left. And that's why, you know, like, it's all her fault. And they were living with his father, Stephen Powell. And they all kind of corroborated all this shit, saying that Joshua is innocent, blah, blah, blah. What you then find out is the father and the son and her were a part of this. She was an unwilling member of a sexual triangle where the father was sexually obsessed with his daughter-in-law, filming her, collecting her underwear, her toenail clippings, her like ear, like a fucking her cleaning out her ears. He filmed himself constantly. Like he had this whole like library of film where he was filming her without her knowing, filming himself showering and dancing, wearing her underwear.
Oh my.
Doing all of stuff. He wrote love songs to her. He then confessed his love to her because in one video he said, "I had a most erotic moment today. The most erotic moment in her life. The most erotic moment in my life. Susan's feet were tired from working, and I offered to give her a massage."
Oh, my.
And so he sat and massaged his daughter-in-law's feet in the living room in front of Joshua. And Joshua the whole time is like, "I married good, didn't I, Dad?"
Oh, my.
She is getting, he's becoming more and more abusive over the years. He's so a Josh, fucking sociopath.
So Joshua is being cucked by his own dad in his dad's likes house.
It. Yes, and he kind of likes it, and the father likes it, and she is trying to get the fuck out, right? And she is now, what you then find out over time, on the surface, of course, they're this very happy LDS family. And Susan was a very devout Mormon that was trying to get her, because Josh stopped going to the church, like, as they were developing in their relationship. So he stopped being a part of the church.
Okay.
And she didn't understand. But the stuff that he decided to cling to was all the husband's the head of the household. And you are supposed to do what I tell you to do, what I tell you, no matter what. And she listened because she was a devout Mormon, basically being like, I can't get divorced. So she started, as the abuse was ramping up and becoming more and more sadistic, and the father was becoming incredibly sexually excited openly in front of his own daughter-in-law, showing her how hard that she would make him. He then confessed his love to her in a car, and he videotaped it because he was trying to destroy their marriage. It's like psychological thing. Look it up. Dateline has an incredible episode about it, and the Ladies Go Missing channel, Oxygen, they also have a really good documentary on it. So, long story short, spoiler alert.
Uh-oh, spoiler alert.
So, she's gone missing for months. They're trying to register her dead, right? Because, I mean, she's just fucking gone. They interviewed the son. They interviewed Charlie Powell, the oldest son, being like, "What happened to mommy?" And they're like, "Daddy said that he took her on a camping trip where we go to look for our gemstones," which is, they used to go geode hunting out in the mountains of Utah. And mommy just never came back. Like, they just went.
Goodness.
They never came. He must have killed her. We don't know these details. So the parents of Susan Cox Powell know that all of this shit is coming out, and then it is fucked. So they file for custody of the kids. So they go, they get custody of the kids. They win it. They win custody in court. But then they decide to give him a visitation day, even though, like, they shouldn't have.
No.
So Josh and the two kids, under supervised help from someone from CPS, CPS delivers the kids to Josh. He pushes they go to his house. They push the CPS dude out of the house. He grabs the kids, pulls them in the house, locks the door, and blows up the house, killing him and the two kids in the fucking house. So he's dead. And the father went to jail for, guess what?
Public child masturbating. Child porn.
Went to father for child porn. They found him.
Oh my God.
He just died of a heart attack, which is how all of this shit's coming out. So watch this Dateline special. This thing's fucking out of control.
My God. So everyone is dead now in the story.
Yes. Entire family wiped out.
Oh my God. Check that out over several years.
And it's just, and again, it's connected to Mormonism. Very interesting.
Anytime a society is built upon secrets, indeed, those secrets are something that aren't like, "We have too much ice cream on Wednesdays. Don't let anyone know." It's always father wants to fuck daughter-in-law, or
I wish
mommy
it wasn't.
Wants to kill their kids, or whatever it might be.
I don't know why secrets become naughty seeds.
You know what's a fun secret?
You know what's fun? A surprise birthday party.
Those are fun. And even if you have a dog, you can throw a surprise birthday party for a dog because they're always surprised.
Yeah, because they don't know. They're not conscious like we are.
No.
You know what's a fun secret? Like, "Oh, Kissel, I brought you a surprise sandwich."
Thank you.
But you know what comes with the naughty seed, though? It's that I put cum on it. I'm sorry, Kissel. It was a secret.
Henry!
Well, it's a secret.
Let's do really quick real estate news, because you know we always cover real estate because that's how you make money. It's real estate.
We're super into it.
We're super into it. It's real estate and stocks. That's how you grow your wealth. I've seen at least 15 Instagram videos now, so I'm getting pretty good at this stuff.
You know what I did? I wanted to get more serious about my money, so you know what I did? I bought one of those suits with all the question marks all over it.
So you can. You can currently, for a measly $459,000, it's not the home, no, they tore that down, but it is the property. You can live on the property that serial killer John Wayne Gacy murdered 33 boys upon. So it's still there. The property is still there. They couldn't tear down the property. What are you going to do, excavate it or something?
I mean, you can't just blow it up, but I'm certain that it's good property, and you know that you can really do a lot with it.
Yep, and currently the house that is on that property, it's a three-bedroom, two-bathroom house in the Chicago Burbs.
Oh.
It's 2,500 square feet, and the lot itself is just under 9,000 square feet. It's going, again, for almost $500,000. It's marketed as, quote, a beautiful brick home with an updated kitchen that overlooks a huge backyard. And
yeah,
of course,
the kitchen better be fucking updated. Yeah, it better be updated. I think it all needs a bit of a zhuzh.
I would say so. It is a home that is actually, if you look at the new picture of the house today, it is very pretty. It's nice. It's landscaped. Very pretty.
How far outside of downtown Chicago? Like, how far, like, away from main city Chicago?
Let's see here. I'm not finding that information.
So $500,000. I mean, honestly, three bedroom, two bath?
Yes, three bedroom, two bath. And I got to say, talking about making money with real estate, the woman who bought this house, she bought the land in 1986 for $30,000.
Yeah, I bet.
And then she built the house for her retiring parents because she wanted them to be haunted right before death. And now she's flipping it. She's flipped it, Henry. That's a massive.
Huge.
That's over $400,000. In just straight up winning money, dude.
Man, you know what I think will be fun now? It would be a fun thing to do because, you know, because of true crime and how pervasive it's become in all friggin' life. You know what I mean? Like it's coming out there. There's just some guy who's gonna buy this shit, and you wear that pogo costume every day in front of the house, just like waving at the kids, being like, "Pogo's back." Hi, kids. Pogo's back. Like, this is the time to do it. To turn it into it all. You turn it into the strip club from Beetlejuice.
Absolutely. So if you want to reach out to Prello Realty, they are the ones who are repping the seller, Robert Piccarello. Robert Piccarello is who you're going to want to talk to for Prello Realty. And you could live in a home that is upon the ground that saw 33 kids murdered. So there you
go.
Man. That's a little investment advice. Although it seems like you're buying high now. Technically, you want to buy low, like the chick did in 1986.
Yeah, and you know what it is too. My problem is they don't like the winter.
Yeah, no. I mean, Chicago's a beautiful place, but my God, those winters are a bit brutal.
I don't like the wintertime, but otherwise, it's a great investment.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, you are right though. At this point, with the serial killer trend, I mean, ride the wave as long as you can, because it's going to crest and fall. Like, at some point, we're going to wake up as a country and just be like, why do we talk about murder for 5 years? Can we just get back to, like, I don't know, like, something like, what's Martha Stewart doing? She's being cool, actually.
She is being cool.
She always has been.
She's fucking ex-con.
I know. That's why I love her.
You watch this special on the world's tallest man, Igor?
No, I did not. What is this? This world's tallest man, Igor?
Yeah, dude. Forget his last name. Igor is dangerously tall. He's 8 feet.
Why?
And he's getting bigger. He's not. He keeps growing.
He is gigantic.
See how charming and funny he is. But then I watched a video with him, and he's just like,
they put me into the hospital because my bones are becoming round.
Like, he's saying some weird things about how his bones are getting all, like, crookedy-crooked. Because it's like he's running out of skin so that the bones can grow, something like that. Because his bones are growing, but his skin's not growing, something bad. He's got a very big head. I mean, he's very big. But his whole thing is that he believes that God is punishing him.
What?
By stretching him.
No, just go get the surgery. He can get a surgery to stop growing.
God made me this way. I am his giant.
You know the movie My Giant?
I do.
Instead of Billy Crystal, my little man is God.
Oh,
but
man.
He is very, he's in a lot of pain.
Well, they say that the human vein system, it can't go 8 feet. So he's I guarantee you, like, his ankles are dead. Like, he's got to, like, do something special.
It's not that I don't, spending time with you made me have so much more understanding of your plight, of what your people go through, of what the big people go through. And it's a nightmare, except for, like, all the other added societal benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone, you know, the grass
because
is always
still,
greener.
Chicks from all over the world are trying to see Igor's hog. Like, he can't feel the tip of it, and maybe he's in constant pain, and maybe he's a walking carnival exhibition, but at the same time, just because of that sheer curiosity, he could pull strange everywhere he goes.
No, I don't. At some point, you know, girls say they like a big man, but they think of Jason Momoa. They're not thinking of George Mirasan and Igor. They're
yes. Please tell me I still have feet. do I still have ankles? Because it might as well just be gone, because it's just a ghost into the wind down there.
Man, that's
very scary.
The giant people have suffered a lot, Henry. Suffered a lot.
Like the small haven't? Like
no.
Us small have not? Us
no,
small.
Because the story of the small, and this is why David versus Goliath, I've always been team Goliath. I don't
even
care.
You are. Of course.
No, because Goliath didn't want to fight. He was just like, oh, I'm here for the beer. And they're like, no, go to the front lines. You got to fight for us. And he's like, I don't like to fight. I like my beer. And then they pushed him to the front. And then what does little homicidal David do?
Hey,
he brought a weapon to a fist fight.
There are times you are born with a set of circumstances, and sometimes fate is going to put you where you're supposed to be, unfortunately, right? If fate does exist, whatever the chaos swirling that does, these rivers of time that we are on, my friend, sometimes whatever time boat you're in takes you where you're going to go.
How
Goliath
the hell?
Was, I don't know.
Now you're talking about rivers of time?
I smoked a lot of weed in here last night. All right? I'm just saying, Goliath, unfortunately, or fortunately, was the right man for the job to die at the hands of a small man whose job it was to society to kill him.
That was the equivalent. David is the first incel mass shooter.
No, he's not.
Yes, he did. He brought a slate. No, but people
this
are
is highly controversial.
No.
I feel like I already could see the emails. David had many wives. He had many wives. He knew how to social.
David, first of all, everyone's like, oh, it was a little slingshot. That was top grade stuff. That is like
Get
rolling
it?
Up
he had to
with
kill
a
Goliath.
Tank.
Goliath, I understand you fighting for Goliath's perspective, but I feel that there are a lot of arguments here. I feel
I'm
there's a
saying,
lot of perspectives.
It was, everyone knew, battle was sword and a shield, and that was
Goliath
it.
Goliath had to go
and
down. Then, it's all about, again, a W is a W.
No, that's true. I mean, God knows the Packers got very lucky beating the Lions because the refs helped out a little bit. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, and I know when me and Greg, we went out to see the game, and the first thing he said to me is, can I sit on your lap? And I say, only if I can call you my wife. And we watched that Packer game the entire time we had sex.
Is it time for Hero of the Week?
Yeah, do your Hero of the Week.
All right, here, let's do Hero of the Week. Okay. This is actually a sweet story. So a man passed away in Ireland, and that is very, very sad. But as he was lowered,
it happens every day. All
it
right,
does
it's not
happen.
That sad. It's a fact.
His name was Shea Bradley, and there's a picture of him here. He's drinking wine, heavy set guy. Looks like he's a boisterous. Kind of looks like Tommy Boy's father from Tommy Boy, Dennehy.
Yeah. So let me guess how he died. 5 heart attacks at once?
Yes, most likely. But he was a funny guy. And so as they were lowering him into the grave, the bagpipes are playing.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, Henry, perhaps you can do this in an Irish accent. All of a sudden, from inside the casket rings out, hello, hello, let me out.
Hello. Let me out. It's pretty funny. This is a very Al Roker story.
Very Al Roker.
This is a very Wilford Brimley story.
But then he goes on to say, where the fuck am I? Let me out of this fucking dark in here, which kind of gets really scary. And then he says, is that the priest I can hear? And then he says, this is Shay. I'm in the box. No, in fucking front of you, I'm dead.
Yeah, it's very funny. It is very, very funny. He did a really good job.
Yes, and then Bradley's voice launched into a song. He crooned, "I just called to say goodbye," and he said he wanted to leave the mourners not crying, but laughing. And indeed, the mourners did laugh. His mother laughed because he died before his mother, even though he was like 60. And I guess she's like one of those strong 110-year-old Irish women. And yes, all of his siblings laughed. And you know what? He is just really, Twitter got wind of it, which is, that's huge. It got 1.5 million retweets or mentioned whatever a bunch. Who gives a shit? But either way.
I hope to, I always had a dream that I would do the thing that if you come to my funeral, I would just prop up my body in the wake room, like before you go to the thing, and you just, it would just be going like, "Hi, hello, welcome to my funeral," like me with the automated hand waving.
I would love that. And his wife said, "You got him good, Papa Bear, and gave us all a laugh just when we needed it." So there you go. That's the hero of the week. I think that's actually very nice.
It is nice. I honestly think it's really nice. Absolutely. I think it's a funny story, and it's an uplifting story, and this is when we're closest to Ellen. This is our our moment to Ellen, except we don't hobnob with war criminals. Another hot take. Hot take.
Hot take. I know. Everyone has so many hot takes. Henry, do we have emails coming in? Do you have any emails this week? Because I know we got a bunch of emails to get to in these next two shows.
Yes, I have some fun ones. I want to go through them. I got two. So the first is like, this involved a little bit of a factoid that I wanted to talk about when we were doing the Mormonism series, but we had so much bullshit to go through that I just forgot to mention it. And someone sent an email about it, so I wanted to read it to you. This comes from Jay. "I grew up very Mormon. Discussions on campouts and long, boring days as missionaries would often turn to discussions of what they call deep doctrine. That's what Mormons call it when they pull tiny bits of Mormon lore and apply it to the mysteries of the universe. Did Jesus die for the sins of every living being on every planet in the universe? Or is he just the savior of this planet? Were dinosaurs around in the Garden of Eden? Blah, blah, blah. Who is Bigfoot?" Was the big one. "And that is the story I want to tell you. The following story is relayed in a book called The Miracle of Forgiveness, a book written by the prophet and president of the Mormon Church from 1970 to 1972. This is where I first heard about Mormon Bigfoot. But the story originates in Lycurgus A. Wilson's book, Life of David W. Patton."
Can I just ask, what happened to this controversial president from 1970 to 1972? He didn't even get a full term. What? I mean, how fast did he came and went? Maybe it was him constantly rambling about Bigfoot where they're like, "You gotta go, dude."
He just died of fucking old man rot.
Okay.
He's just one of these fucking pieces of shit that all look like the fucking, what's his name, the villain at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. "Dear brother, in relation to the subject of the visit of Cain to Brother David W. Patton in the state of Tennessee, about which you wrote to me, I will say that according to the best of my recollection, it was in the month of September, 1835. It was in the evening, just twilight, when Brother Patton rode up to my father's house, alighted from his mule, and came into the house. The family immediately observed that his countenance was quite changed. My mother, having first noticed his changed appearance, said, 'Brother Patton, are you sick?' He replied that he was not, but he had just met with a very remarkable personage who had represented himself as being Cain, who murdered his brother Abel. He went on to tell the circumstances as near as I can recall in the following passage. 'As I was riding along the road in my mule, I suddenly noticed a very strange personage walking beside me. He walked along beside me for about 2 miles. His head was about even with my shoulders as I even sat in my saddle. He wore no clothing, but was covered with hair. His skin was very dark. I asked him where he dwelt, and he replied that he had no home, that he was a wanderer on the earth and traveled to and fro. He said he was a very miserable creature, that he had earnestly sought death during his sojourn upon the earth, and that he could not die, and his mission was to destroy the souls of men. About the time he expressed himself thus, I rebuked him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my virtue of the holy priesthood, and commanded him to go hence. And he immediately departed out of my sight. When he left me, I found myself near your house. There was much conversation,
about the circumstances between Brother Patton and my family, which I don't recall. But the above is in substance his statement to us at the time. The date is, to the best of my recollection, and I think it is correct, but it may possibly have been in the spring of 1836, but I feel quite positive that the former date is right. Hoping the above all be satisfactory to you and answers your purposes, I am, with the kindest regards as ever, your old friend and brother, A.O. Smoot. Stories like these are always taken at face value within the church. The Mormons who have read this story, they believe, and I have actually now, this is Henry speaking, this is, I did my own separate research briefly.
Okay.
They believe, and it's true, they believe Cain from the old story of Cain and Abel is a huge man that forever wanders the earth, covered in hair, wandering through the forests and byways of America.
Cain is Bigfoot?
Cain is Bigfoot.
What?
But what does that sound like to you? Not just to you, but every scout leader who's ever heard this story has told me that Bigfoot sightings were not chance encounters with an elusive prehistoric ape, but narrow misses with Cain, the most evil human to ever live, cursed to wander the earth forever.
Oh my goodness. But that's not even... Bigfoot is a very nice cryptid. It's only peaceful. If it wanted to rip us apart, we've seen the game Rampage.
No,
it would be like that in Manhattan right now.
I've seen some video of Bigfoot, and we've read some stuff of Bigfoot being sexually aggressive.
Yeah, you have, because you love your Bigfoot, your sexy creepypasta.
My lore.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm going to try to, this is a long email, but I'm going to try to truncate this because it's fucking really good.
Okay.
So this young person had traveled to Chicago. And was looking for friends. This young person went, and they tried to join a volunteer group. It didn't work out, but so they ended up getting on the train to go home. And
okay.
This is the story. I get on the train, red line, northbound on a Sunday, getting on to Jackson, and the train is fucking empty. This is unusual. There are people who seem to be waiting for the northbound red line and didn't get on. I figured maybe they were idling for something else under the warmer heat thing inside the station. I get on. I want to go home. Some teenagers get on, and then a group of 30-somethings that were on the train, they just got up and they just left, right? So this is very strange. But then a man, who they said could either be 23 or 53, entered the train dressed in a black suit and hat. He walked across my field of vision to take the seat on the other side of the train. He had to bow his head in order to enter the train. Very tall man. He had knee shoes, pants that were all too short for him, neat white socks that were stained brown on one of the legs. I looked and I immediately started to profusely cold sweat. He sat down in the furthest seat to the door next to the call conductor button across the aisle where I was seated in the same type of seat, the ones reserved for handicap, elderly, and high traffic hours. I felt an immense pressure on the back of my neck, and I could feel all this attention is on me even though he was staring ahead. I was looking at the scrolling LED sign, scrolling the time again and again. It's just so I could keep this man in my peripheral vision.
Okay.
The train comes up from underground, and there's a bunch of sunlight suddenly, and this is when I realized that his clothes were pinned together with shining silver pins, like what a tailor would do. His clothes were really reflective, and the two long tails of his jacket weren't lined. The cuffs of his pants are well hemmed, but it looked like they are unreasonably thin. Non-suit material, like someone took a windbreaker and made a suit from it. Out of my peripheral vision, I also saw that while he was also very tall, he had these thick creeper shoes on. The sole was 2 to 3 times the thickness of a creeper shoe. It was like a platform shoe. I couldn't move. I was deeply uneasy, and I was feeling as if something was compelling me to look at this guy. He's weird looking.
Sure.
But I wouldn't. And I was not taking out my phone either because I had this idea that in my head that was not my normal thought. I kept thinking of my phone as my technology, which is a phrase I do not use. The man started mumbling in a breathy tone and tapping his face with the flat of his palm, or at least that's what it seemed like he was doing. I cut my eyes to the time and realized only minutes have passed, but I was soaked with sweat through to my jacket. I couldn't get off the train because the last stops I would have had to cross in front of him, and I was not about that life. I cut my eyes back, and I look at his shoes, and I saw a milky green wire with a dark center coming out of the tip of his bone of his ankle and going into a welt onto his leg. It was this raised quarter bit of skin that was a dark blackish color. My stop finally came, and as I jumped, I locked eyes on him, and I didn't look at anything, but I hightailed it out the doors. I got a look at his face. He had a big, wide, fat face with tiny features that were grouped very close together. He was taking up the majority of the seat, and his clothes didn't fit him right at all. He had black, shiny hair, but it looked like a party city wig attached to his hat. He was slapping his mouth, and he at that time realized he had no lips. He just had this kind of like thin O-ring rind that was painted bright red around the center.
Ooh.
As I dashed in front of him, he stopped mumbling and bared his teeth at me, showing all of his clenched teeth and gums like a monkey at the zoo in the facsimile of a smile with his lips pulled all the way back, then raised both of his hands, palms out, and wheezed at me. They said they were in the middle of listening to our Men in Black episode.
Interesting.
As they were going, and it was like, this was like Men in Black. She saw a Man in Black. And honestly, it's right on there. Unless he's dressed for fucking Halloween or on his way to a film shoot, that's a Man in Black.
Monster in Black, it sounds to me very scary. Awesome. And again, we want to hear more scary tales from you. This is Side Stories, LPOTL@gmail.com. That is where you can send those emails. Please do. Spooky stories like that are exactly what we're looking for. Maybe he did just have to rush. He had to run fast after he was getting his suit tailored.
I gotta go to the lip store.
And he had to run.
Excuse me, little girl. Can you tell me where the lip store is?
He's got to get some of those plastic wax lips that parents thought that kids liked in the 50s.
You know what he needs?
What's that?
Fillers.
He needs some fillers, absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening to this week's Side Stories.
Can you feel it, though, man?
Mm-hmm,
Every week it gets closer to Halloween.
Yes,
it does. I'm so fucking excited. I have a question. Do we know anybody that works for Universal for Halloween Horror Nights? I have some questions about the sets of Halloween Horror Nights. So if anybody has that information, please send it to sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. Very, very excited. I'll be headed there myself this year. Can't wait.
Ooh.
We're trying to hit as many of the haunts as possible.
Is Rob Zombie's? Rob Zombie has an exhibit there this year, right?
Yes, and my Blu-ray for Three from Hell should be waiting for me at my home right now. I can't wait to see it.
Woo! Absolutely. You got it on Blu-ray, huh?
Yeah, man.
No kidding. You still have a DVD player?
I'm starting to go back to Blu-ray.
Interesting. Okay, because it should be released online, right? Like Netflix
or something. I don't think it is yet. I might just be physical media.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm going to have to plug in my DVD player. I haven't done that in a while.
Dude, start doing it. Get back to Blu-ray. Remember the quality. Remember the quality.
All right, Grandpa.
It's worth it. No, it's
okay.
Cool.
All right.
Oh, man. Live your life like you are a skeleton going to the skin store or a man with no lips going to the lip store. And you got a coupon.
Ooh.
That's what you're living that life, man. You're
nice.
Living that coupon life, buddy. That's what I do, man. You gotta live, you gotta laugh at the fact that, yeah, I don't got lips. Who gives a shit? Lick my teeth. You wanna love me? You can't handle me at the I don't have lips, and you don't deserve me at the I'll massage your feet until you sleep. Like you're my supple young daughter-in-law.
All right, everyone.
And then you gotta laugh.
There
you gotta laugh, man.
Yes.
You gotta laugh. You see, you're laughing.
I am laughing.
Does it feel good? Right? You gotta laugh knowing that we got fucking 15 days to Halloween, 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 Halloween. So fucking excited.
Question, Henry, and this is for the audience as well. Nightmare Before Christmas. Halloween movie? Christmas movie?
Christmas movie.
Really?
That's my hot take.
Really?
Christmas
okay.
Movie.
I'm gonna say Halloween movie, just to be
Fuck
different.
You.
I could just
you.
See it. Okay, interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Never forget, you're feeling down in the dumps. You know what? Just wake up. You just got to wake up. It's the
you
hardest thing
up.
To do. Just
Listen,
keep on
dude,
waking up as long as
get
possible.
Get out there. Get up. Put the feet. Put one foot in front of the other.
Yep.
Get a dog.
We
get out
get
there.
A dog,
do your
maybe.
Shit.
Because we all sometimes we all feel down in the dumps, don't we?
You know? Every day.
Every day.
I fight it.
Every day. As a matter of fact, yeah. I think that's just the future.
Yeah.
I was talking to my therapist told me that. He said, you know, you are allowed to be happy. And I was like,
but am I?
No,
but am I though? No, it's a constant struggle. But at the same time, if you think about it, it's a constant struggle for us. And technically, we're living a 13-year-old's dream. Then, yeah, it's just a struggle for everybody. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get your shit together and you get up there and you fucking do your shit. And also, I guested on a really good podcast this week, Get Rich Nick, with Nick Turner and Nick Vatterott, our old friends.
Absolutely.
Go take a look at their podcast. It's honestly very, very funny. They're two of the funniest dudes in the biz.
Get Rich Nick, Nick Vatterott. He is one of the most creative stand-up comedians I've ever seen.
Yes.
And Nick Turner, his rage is filled with humor. And I think that's great. Yes. All right, everyone, never forget, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me. Hail me.
If you're in a bunker, you know what? Just stay there at this point. I would say if you're in there, you're having fun, just stay there.
Again, you know what you do with the bunker? Rent it out as an Airbnb. Use that money, get yourself an apartment.
Dude, honestly, I would love to go just a week of like prepper's life. I would love to go prep for a week.
No, Natalie and I are full on bunker life. We can't wait one day.
Love it.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.